The Holy Gospel for this Sunday is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may go ahead and be seated. And are there any children here this morning? Anyone want to come up for children's time? No kids. All right. Well, my spirit, I have to say, is still filled from that music. Wasn't that amazing? What I would have loved to have them come back next week. Now, they're competing at state next weekend, and wow, a lot of hard work, dedication, practice, and talent mixed together went into that. And it was just fun to see their interactions with one another. It's like that filled me. That was wonderful. Well, one Sunday morning, a pastor told the congregation that the church was in need of some extra money. So he asked the people, "Would you please prayerfully consider giving a little extra this morning?" So, as an added incentive, he said, "Whoever gives the most can pick out 3 hymns. So after the offering plates were passed around and the baskets came back to the pastor, he happened to look and noticed there was $1,000 bill in the offering plate. And he was just so overjoyed that he couldn't contain his enjoyment. And he told the congregation and he said, "You know, I'd really like to recognize this generous donor. And would you please raise your hand?" Well, at first, no one did, and finally, a little old lady named Edna, sitting in the back pew, raised her hand and smiled, and the pastor invited Edna to come forward and told her how wonderful it was that she gave so much. And he said, "Remember, you can pick out 3 hymns. She looked out over the congregation and smiled, her eyes just brilliant, and she said, "Okay, I'll take him and him and him." Okay. All right. Okay, another Sunday. A little boy named Johnny stayed home from church because he had a really bad sore throat. And his brothers came home and they had beautiful palm branches that they were waving and shouting, "Hosanna." And Johnny said, "Well, where did you get those?" And they said, "Well, we got them at church, and people waved them as Jesus went by." And Johnny started to cry, and he said, "Wouldn't you know it, Of all the Sundays I had to miss the one when he actually showed up. Oh, and I'm not done yet, you know. Okay, so there was another little boy. We gotta love little boys. He was visiting his grandparents, and they had this wonderful family Bible that had been passed down through many generations. And he loved opening the Bible because it contained little pictures and notes and letters and just memorabilia, newspaper clippings. And as he was flipping through the old pages, something fell out. And he reached down on the floor and picked it up. And he said, "Mom, look what I found." And she said, "Well, what do you have there, dear?" And he said, "I don't know." And he looked at it, and it was a dried up, pressed old leaf. And he said, "I think it's Adam's underwear." Okay, so speaking of Adam, do you know what time of day Adam was created? A little before Eve. Did Eve ever have a date with Adam? No, just an apple. They don't get any better. So, do you know who the fastest runner was in the race? Adam, because he was the first in the human race. No, oh, that's kind of a groaner. Yeah, I agree. Okay, so we're going to pick on somebody else for a little while. So why couldn't they play cards on the ark? Because Noah was standing on the deck. What animal didn't Noah trust on the ark? The cheetah. Yeah, okay. So what kind of lights did Noah put on the ark? Floodlights, of course. Okay. And last but not least, why weren't there any worms on the ark? Anybody know? Because worms come in apples, not in pears. Okay, George Burns, thanks Terry. I needed that. George Burns had some excellent advice for preachers. And his advice was, the secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending and have the two as close together as possible. So that was my beginning, and here's my ending. The Sunday after Easter is known by many different names. Some people call it Low Sunday, which originated in the fact that Easter was such a high feast day, such a grand celebration. We kind of come the Sunday after Easter and suddenly get real, because it's now what? Okay, Christ is risen, but now what? And then in more recent years, it's been called Low Sunday just because the fact that of attendance, that Easter is usually, you know, the house is packed and the Sunday after there are a few less. But I don't really like that because I'm really glad you all are here today. And others call it Doubting Thomas Sunday, which doesn't really seem fair because it seems like Thomas gets a bad rap. We don't call Peter denying Peter. We don't call Judas betraying Judas. And we don't call Mark ran away naked Mark. I mean, we kind of forget that detail about him. So why Doubting Thomas? I think the best name for this Sunday is Holy Humor Sunday or Holy Hilarity Sunday. And it's named as such in recognition of Christ's resurrection as God's best last laugh over sin and evil and death. Some churches give out noisemakers so that at any point in the sermon you can, or service, in the sermon you can drown me out, no, but in the service you can make a joyful noise to the Lord. Other pastors encourage people to shout out, "Hallelujah, thanks be to God, praise the Lord." And I read one pastor who said that he had done this and encouraged people, just shout out something that makes you feel joyful. And he said there was a little boy in the front, and he stood up on the pew and he said, I want to go home! Well, you might want to too, so I don't know. So, I mean, the resurrection of Jesus is really the best comedy. That unexpected reversal of expectations. The resurrection of Christ is the ultimate joke on death, on all the forces of evil. You know, we know Jesus was crucified. We know he died, yet God triumphs. Love wins. You know, Thomas, all the disciples were locked in the room because they were afraid. He was out, not with them. Jesus came. And poor Thomas, he wanted the same experience that those other disciples had. He wanted to be a part of and share in that celebration, to have his grieving, heavy heart lifted like the other disciples. He wanted to experience the joy of Easter. Now, there's no doubt that some of us this very morning who have gathered here today want the same thing. We want to experience that joy. We want to be lifted. We want our burdened, heavy hearts lifted. We want a reassuring, joyous experience to remind us that we are never alone. Because life can sometimes deal crushing blows to us. We experience broken relationships, unexpected unemployment, overpowering addictions, devastating diseases, overwhelming grief that surprises us unexpectedly. You know, we call ourselves Easter people, but it can often feel like we continue to live in a Good Friday world. But today is a day to allow Jesus to lift you. Jesus loved Thomas enough that he came back. He came back specifically to see Thomas. We know that Jesus loves us too. And the risen Christ comes again and again and again and again. He is always with us. He's present as we laugh together, as we cry, as we hear amazing music, as we pray sincere prayers. He's here in the water and the word and the wine and the bread. He's present in each and every one of us because we are that body of Christ. Christ is present and ready to raise us to new life in his name. Because he loves us so much. He loves us too much to let us live another day as if he were still dead. Today is a day to delight once again in the joy of Easter, to celebrate God's best joke ever, one that we all know and we can deliver the punchline. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.